Conference is now being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time.
This is Dan McKee, I welcome everybody. I just got off a call with the Newport Rotary Club and talking about some of the same things we're talking about here. But for those who have questions, they can get it to ltgov20@gmail.com. I wanted to just start this meeting, and then we'll go to Mark Haywood. I just want to continue to reinforce the fact that we're the health issue is the top priority. Thank you, Mark. Reopening of our business is also going to be a high priority as well, and we want to make sure that we're doing the things that we need to do. The governor talked yesterday about a reopening strategy that I think is very important, and for us to follow, keeping the health issues as a top priority. But reopening is also is certainly open to discussion now in a way that makes a lot of sense. And today's call, not only Mark Haywood, we have somebody from the DLT with us as well. We have a couple representatives, which I'll introduce during the agenda here. And then we're going to have some businesses on that are still struggling to try to get help. And we're going to have a number of people that are going to fall through the cracks potentially, and we need to be thinking about them right now. And you're going to hear their story shortly. And one of the things I think that we need to really think about is a state strategy. You know, the federal stuff, and Mark's doing a lot of work and helping a lot of people. But we also got to be prepared for these small businesses that those programs might not fit right for them. And I think that it's time that we start seriously talking about a state plan that partners in with the local banks. I've talked to many of my friends who are in banking. I think the bankers would be stepping up on a strategy like that, where the state would have some level of leveraging its guarantee into a large group of businesses, several hundred businesses. So we're going to talk about that a little bit today. But thank you for all calling in. I think last week's call, we really highlighted the issues that have to do with the farmers and the garden shops, and thankfully the governor was able to make the announcement Saturday that there's going to be relief for those businesses, and we want to keep on trying to find ways that we can help the small business community. So to start off with today, Mark Haywood's on the line. Mark, again, I want to introduce you as someone that's really working really so hard to help our small businesses in Rhode Island, and I know you're starting to get some results because I'm starting to hear from some of those small businesses. And so please give us the update where you are right now. I know there's a lot of anticipation of whether there's going to be a re-up or a renewal on the funding, but give us your overview, and I appreciate you being here, Mark, again. Thank you so much.
So a couple of things I want to talk about is hang on, I got to get to this page. So far there are 142 EIDL loans that have been approved in Rhode Island. That's economic injury disaster loans for $22,595,000. And in addition to that, there are, I know a lot of people applied for the EIDL advance. 2,740 businesses received the EIDL advance, anywhere between $1,000 and $10,000 for approximately $12.3 million in Rhode Island. So that's all good news. That funds are beginning to decrease. The bad news is there's probably quadruple the number of people who are still in the queue that have not received funding. So at least some of that's coming out. On PPP, I know what everybody else knows. It's basically, I did have an opportunity to talk to Senator Reed yesterday. I do anticipate that funding will come. I just don't know when, hopefully, because remember, it has to go through the Senate. The Senate rules and the House rules are a little bit different. So hopefully it will be expeditious, and that's really all I can say about that. If there are rule changes, I've heard discussion of rule changes, but I can't really talk to that until we see what the legislation actually says, and then we'll go from there. couple of things I do want to talk about today, Governor, is, is a number of people beginning to close on their PPP loans, and a couple of things, particularly as it relates to the hospitality industry, have come up that I want to talk about. And just to remind everybody, when you're coming back in for forgiveness, there are certain criteria that you have absolutely have to adhere to. Let me go to this screen right here. So we've had a number of calls where individuals have been brought back. So individual A would be a wait staff of X, and that individual made the minimum hourly for hospitality plus brought home about $700 per week in tips. Business B offered the individual their position back, even though that they were not working, and offered them minimum wage at $10.50 an hour. There's a problem with that because, A, they submitted their application based upon where they included the tips for that particular individual, and B, the rule says level of payroll. Your forgiveness will also be reduced if you decrease salaries and wages by more than 25% for any employee. So basically, that business is now risking being told that the loan cannot be forgiven based upon substituting the minimum plus the tips versus just the minimum wage. So I caution people in the hospitality industry that the rules are very specific, that your submission to your lender and approval for PPP are based on certain criteria. And I've had a number of discussions with Dale as well as with Sarah from Rhode Island Hospitality, just so that we're all, nobody's taken any punitive action, but you need to know the basis by which certain things have been approved, and we don't want anybody to be going and asking for forgiveness and then forgiveness being denied because the rules weren't followed. So that's my tip of the day, Governor.
Yeah, that's an important one. I'm sure that there'll be people making sure that they're following that procedure. And that's a good point to be made. And again, that's one of the reasons it's great to have you on the call, Mark, to give the updated information. We want to make sure people do everything they can to take advantage, full advantage of that PPP program. Joe Rodio, you're on the line. I don't know, is there anything that you might want to ask Mark with some of the questions that we might have had? If not, we can kind of move along. Joe, are you on the line?
Yeah, thanks, Governor. No, I think most of them are really related to the ongoing negotiations, and so we will just continue to monitor that, and we'll make sure we provide a texting update to the group when some more information or some emails when some more information is available.
Great. Mark, are you going to be able to hang on to the call, or you got to run?
I will hang on as long as I can, Governor, but when I leave, I'll let you know.
Excellent. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate your help. Yeah, we'll go to DBR. Is Julietta on? The Deputy Director on?
The conflict come up last minute.
Okay. Well, let's go to the DLT Director, Deputy Director Matt Weldon. I know he's on the line. Matt?
Sorry about that, Governor. I'm so focused on unemployment claims, I can't figure out how to use a phone.
But I think that some of the information you might be able to give in a short recap will help identify some of the issues that we know that we're hearing about, and we've been talking to you about individual and also, you know, questions that really apply to everybody. But so give us a quick update and give us some of the overview that you feel would be helpful to the, you know, several hundred businesses that are on the call right now.
Sure thing. Thanks again for the opportunity. We appreciate the forum and the chance to talk to all the people that we're trying to serve. As of today, which includes everything that came in through yesterday, we're up to 173,000 unemployment claims. That's an incredible number. And so we've talked about this a number of times since I've been on. That is more than tenfold what we would ever experience really in the past. Even during the busiest weeks that we've ever had, we only had to certify 20, 30, maybe 40,000 people at the absolute most. And now we're well over that. So some things that have changed and some common issues that have come up. The good news, this past weekend, we introduced a brand new certification process. We were before working off of an analog phone line system that's been in place for some time. And what would happen is people could certify their weekly claim. It's like asking for a paycheck every week. You certify in and say, I haven't worked. I still need my unemployment check or my payment. They would do that, but a lot of times, I'm sure you all heard it, they would get busy signals or they wouldn't get through at all or they couldn't get into the system. And that was simply because it was overloaded. So we've worked with Amazon Web Services to create a cloud-based application that is able to essentially handle an unlimited capacity. For the first time that I'm aware of, and we've been here now pretty much 7 days for 6 weeks trying to figure these things out, on Sunday we certified 76,000 people without an issue. And I know I said there was 173,000 claimants. Well, not all of them are processed and not ready to be certified yet, but a great deal are. That includes the number, includes 30,000 people that have certified through the brand new program for small business owners, independent contractors, and other folks. They're also able to certify on a brand new web form. Most people actually use the web form instead of the phone system. The web form is now one page only. It asks four basic things. And then you can submit your certification. So that was good news. So what's the bad news? The bad news is a number of people in the old system were unable to certify, so they have to talk to somebody. And that makes it incredibly difficult when we're working remotely and when there are a limited number of people that are able to do that. We do have staff that are working from across the agency on unemployment. They're all in right now on unemployment, basically. And what we've done is we've run reports every day of who these people are, and we are auto-paying people so they don't have to try to get in touch with us. So if you hear, I need to get in touch with someone, I can't get paid, you should know that we are resolving those issues one at a time. And it's happening every day. And by one at a time, I mean thousands at a time every day. Hopefully soon, because of that new technology, people will be able to reset those issues on their own. Until then, we're going to continue to help them. The TDI program tracks at about 10% of the UI program, maybe a little bit more. So there's probably about 20,000 claims in TDI right now. So collectively, we're just over 190,000 total claims that my department's dealing with. We appreciate everyone's patience. We know it's incredibly difficult. I've given my email address out before on this phone call. I'm happy to do it again. I'll take as many emails as you can send to me, and we'll do our best to get back to you within a day or so. And that is matthew.weldon@dlt.ri.gov. Thank you, Governor. I'll stay on for questions later.
Yeah, thank you, Matt, and thank you for being so responsive to the questions that we're able to ask. And so if people who do have questions, whether we get to them on this call or not, they can send them to ltgov20@gmail.com. And I think you gave good advice to many of the people that have been waiting. But I know that a number of people that have been waiting are now not waiting any longer, Matt. So thank you so much, and say thank you to your staff. To the staff that's working on all these really complicated issues. I wanted to just read quickly the what the DBR wanted to just say, that the only update that they had was inspectors are out and about checking that businesses, customers are complying with the executive order, which requires cloth face coverages, and that compliance levels have generally been high, and that's that. She wanted to report and thank the businesses out there for complying with the face mask policy. And if you have any questions on that, we certainly can direct you to DBR, or you can go directly to their website to try to get some information on that. So I would also say, you know, so we're continually doing the. I wanted to have Justin just come on quickly, and then I wanted to go to the. To our reps that are here today. We had the General Assembly Senators last week, and we got three reps today that we're very pleased to have there. But let's go to Justin first. Just a quick update on the Gifted Forward program, and we'll I know we're going to come back on Friday and continue to give everybody updates, trying to support people. I had a great suggestion for the program, Justin, coming off the call with the Rotary Club in Newport just now, where they were actually talking about, you know, there's some people out there that might want to just make donations to the companies that they normally do business with. If they go to a diner normally and they spend $10 a week or whatever it is, you know, if they got the financial ability, just, you know, send them the $10, you know, keep the cash in their pockets. But anyways, people are thinking, you've been thinking, tell us, just give us an update of where we are since we last talked, Justin.
Yeah, hey guys, hey everyone. First, I, the last couple calls, I hadn't had a chance to give out my email. It's justin@oceansidegraphicsri.com. Again, it's justin@oceansidegraphicsri.com. I know a lot of you have emailed in or called in for some, you know, listing updates. One of the things that we've done to the site is we've made it available to do to list your event, or if you're offering any promos, you know, buy one free gift card, or you know, $50, you know, for every 100 you spend, whatever the case is. Feel free to email me those in, and we'll get them listed up. Or if you see your listing on there and it doesn't look right or something is off, just email in and we'll get them taken care of, usually in like a day or so. But as far as the site itself goes, we've had just under 95,000 visits to the site, which is, you know, pretty remarkable. We're getting what seems to be about 1,000 to 1,500 visitors a day. Right now, we've had 4,953 clicks on the buy a gift card. So, you know, we're definitely still seeing a rapid growth in traffic to the website itself. We're just under 1,000 businesses. We have 975 businesses that are signed up for it. And currently, the Gift It Forward movement is really shifting into that rismallbusiness.org. Which we're planning on having that be the hub for small businesses, so we can help with, you know, different initiatives, different events, educational seminars, services, things that, all the small businesses that are part of this can, you know, contribute to really give back to the community, having small businesses help small businesses in the way they need to be helped. So we'll can get more into that on Friday. I have to just get with Chris from Trailblaze Marketing and Lori from our Visual Thrives. They've been working on some similar stuff and been part of some of the efforts in the last week or so. And Chris has been helping us since the beginning. So we can touch more on that again on Friday. But for now, I think that's all I have. And again, my email is justin@oceansidegraphicsri.com.
Justin, thank you, and thanks for your efforts in terms of you and a whole crew of people volunteering, and also some of the masks that you're producing to protect the workers out there. You've been, you know, selling some of them, but you've been very generous to some of the groups that I've been sending to you. So thank you for that. And that's kind of my time to just kind of the pitch that, you know, people are listening on the call, or they want to volunteer to help move our small business initiatives in the state of Rhode Island. You know, I'll take a call as well. My personal cell phone number is 401-465-6204. And after every one of these calls, I get a handful of calls, and I appreciate people reaching out to me, 401-465-6204. Whether you're looking to kind of contribute into the effort to help the small businesses, or whether you have a particular question that you're trying to get answered, please feel free to contact us or contact our office, or send any question or comment to ltgov20@gmail.com. Thank you, Justin. So I'd like to bring on the reps now. We've had many reps and senators that have been listening on these calls. As you recall, Friday we had three of our senators on, with Senator Miller, right, and Senator DePalma and Senator Cano. And today we're very fortunate to have three of our reps. And I'd like to just bring them on one at a time. Just give a quick overview of the things that you've been listening to in your constituent areas, which I think that I'd love to see an effort to really organize all our reps and senators in the state, because I think they're just hungry to try to really do some things, and with not being in session, it makes it more difficult. But we appreciate the reps and senators that have been involved in these calls. I know that Tavon, is Rep on there? Carlos on here, and then I'll go to Rep Contraband, and then also.
I think I'm on. Am I on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks, Carlos.
All right, Gov.
Thank you for being here.
Well,
just give us a minute, 2 minute overview of the things that you think are important in these two small businesses and why you've helped us in our office considerably on moving some legislation and advocating for the small businesses all the time that I've been in office. So I appreciate that.
Thanks, Scott. Well, thank you for all you're doing. Just a few things. First of all, I've been saying this all along on the calls, with the Latino calls, and thank you for this opportunity to talk to, this part of the business community. It's important that the money that you get, we all encourage, and I'm one of the biggest promoters of buy local because I understand the importance of it because we need to keep the money local. The more money that stays circulating local and the more cycles that dollar goes, that allows us to pay the bills at the state. That allows us to, cover the cost of the lights, the roads, and all the things that people expect. When people shop outside of state, we get $0. When people shop at a big box store, we get 15 cents on the dollar. And when people buy local, we get about 45 cents on the dollar staying local. So we need to make sure that people, constituents, understand that the money that they get, whether it's part of the stimulus or whatever money they're getting from unemployment, let them not become a pass-through entity. Let it not come from the feds to the state, and then when they get it, they go to Massachusetts or they go to Amazon to purchase things because that does nothing for our state, and it's not going to help us come out of this. Now, contrary to that, we could come out stronger. And one of the analogies that I give people is that in 2008, when the market crashed, it was those companies who doubled up on advertising that became the winners, and those who started cutting their advertising monies that sort of became in the shadow of those who were willing to dare. And so with that said, this is the time for us to come out stronger because it's the whole country is going through this, and we can provide something that others can't because of our size and of our proximity to major markets. So let's take advantage of that. Let's continue to throw things on the board and these discussions with the governor are extremely important because it allows, like-minded individuals to come together and really talk about the things that we need to move forward. So as this committee that's developing in New England to restart the economy comes together, you and us will play a pivotal part in making those recommendations because you are on the front lines. All of us are talking maybe theory if we don't have a business, but those of you who have a business who have to make critical decisions every day, whether it's in normal times or these critical times, you will play an important role because you see what others don't see. We just repeat what you see. You're our eyes and ears, and you allow us to make policy, but you guys are the true heroes when it comes to the economy. Lastly, I just want to say, and this goes out to Mark Hayward, and also to Matt Weldon, I have constituents who have applied for loans, PPP and the different things, who they were denied, or their bank put it out literally right before the program was shut down. And then Matt Weldon, I have constituents who applied, some in the gig economy. I know that the regular employees have been certified a little faster to get their unemployment benefits, but I have those in the gig economy or those who are going to begin working who haven't gotten a call, and they applied almost 2 weeks ago. So in general, that's what's going on. But again, my biggest thing, and the governor knows, is if we buy local, we could do a lot more with 45 cents on every dollar than we could do with 7 or 0 cents. So let's come out stronger from this by all of us making the little sacrifice and making sure that the money circulates longer, because I want to make sure that you guys expect us as policymakers to deliver year after year, but year after year we lose more money just over the border, but we're expected to do the same job. Thanks, Governor.
Thanks, Rep. We appreciate you and appreciate your support, and I just continue to echo to the listeners out there, make sure you're in touch with your reps and senators. They're very important to hear your stories, and that's one of the reasons that we're so appreciative of the reps and senators that have been following these calls for the last several weeks. Terry, are you there? Rep? Rep Phillips, are you there?
I'm here, Governor.
Great. Thanks, Rep. Rep Phillips, Rob's up in Woonsocket, and a piece of Cumberland, which you did.
A piece of Cumberland, you're right.
Very well when I was a mayor. So, and you do serve on the Small Business Committee, and I know you've been very supportive of the small businesses. And I just wanted to invite you on so that people could hear that there is a voice there that is interested in helping and interested in hearing of what our small businesses are going through right now. So maybe just give a quick overview of your thoughts. I mean, we had a discussion last week on some things, and be appreciative to have you just share that with the group that's listening in. And by the way, we are taping this call, and so we'll put that out on our social media. Several hundred more people will be listening to this who weren't able to call in today. So, Rep, please.
All right. Thank you, Governor. First of all, I'd like to thank you for putting these calls on because it is doing very well with a lot of the businesses that I have on Facebook. They're saying, communicating to other businesses, saying, get on this call. It might be beneficial for you. But just a list of some of the businesses that have been contacting me and trying to find out what is available to them is some. I have a deli that is contacted me, some restaurants, hairdressers, a costume jewelry manufacturer, and a person that owns a massage therapy company that sublets out to chairs to different people. And that one we're still in the works with. He's been denied a couple of times, and we're still working with it. So a question for Mark Haywood, if he can expound on what the EIDL qualifications are for certain people. I think since I'm not up to date on what everything is going on with that, I think a lot of businesses are not. So if Mark, afterwards, you can just expound on that, that would be great. Governor, did you get in touch with that restaurant, that owner that we had talked about last weekend?
I certainly did. I had a good long conversation with Bethany yesterday, and she's echoing exactly what we're going to be talking about when you hear the businesses today, just scrambling to try to figure it out. And you can give a quick overview if you like, but I mean that's the story that we want people to hear. Those businesses that have really been involved with the businesses, but some have opened up a second shop within the last year, and they're trying to build a business, and now this is really abruptly put a halt to that. So yes, I did talk to Bethany.
Okay, very good. Thank you for doing that for me. This restaurant that we're talking about, this person has owned 10 restaurants over the years, her and her husband, and she just opened a second one within the last 9 months to a year. And she just got it up and running. She's not being profitable on that second restaurant that she's got, but she's had to shut it down. She thought about doing the takeout and everything, but it just wasn't worth it. The logistics just weren't there. And I feel that's the same as a few other restaurants that I've spoken to. They just don't know which direction to go in. So any help we can give, i.e., as the governor had said, drop $10 to a restaurant that you normally go to, or call them up and see if they can give you a gift certificate so you can take advantage of it later on. They would appreciate any money that is available that they can get to keep up and to keep open if they can. So I think that's all I'm going to say. I think, you know, if you have your rep and senator's number, give them a call. All the reps that I have talked to, and I have talked to and text message of quite a few of them, they are all taking calls and all trying to work as hard as they can to help the small businesses and the individuals that have been affected by the unemployment. But give them a call. We try to help. We've got our constituent services department that is working overtime because there is so many people that are in the need. And with that, Governor, I'll bring it back to you.
Thank you so much. And again, I'll just reemphasize.
Governor?
Yes.
It's Rep. Cortbrand. I am on the line.
Okay, good, Terry. I'm glad you're here. And we talked yesterday. Please share with the listeners your perspective as a small business owner, I might add, right?
Yes. Well, as a small business owner, the first thing I want to do is give a huge thank you to Bank Newport and Adam Duclos, who helped me and my business obtain a payment protection loan. So I thank Mark Haywood for giving us more guidance this morning. That was very helpful. People have been reaching out to me, other businesses in my district, about who have gotten the loan and wanted more clarity on what the guidelines are to make sure that we fulfill and are able to get the loan forgiven. So I thank him for those remarks at the beginning. So I have been reaching out to businesses in my district as well. I've got dress shops. I've been talking to people in the marine industry because that's the industry that I'm in. They have a lot of questions regarding when the quarantine requirements, because we have so many boat owners that are here in Rhode Island, but they live in Massachusetts. And right now, they cannot even come and touch their boat without quarantining. So obviously, the marine industry is anxious to see when those quarantine rules might be relaxed, when the governor is able to do that. I've been talking to restaurants. I've been directing people to RI Commerce website and to Justin's program for the Gift It Forward. And so I think that's been helpful to businesses. And I also want to thank Matt Weldon, because I can't tell you how many emails I've sent to him in the last couple of weeks with constituents calling me about various unemployment issues. But Matt has been so responsive, so I really want to thank him. So I think that kind of concludes what I have to say, but I am out soliciting comments and suggestions from all the businesses in Portsmouth and Middletown on behalf of the House Small Business Committee, because we are trying to come up with a list of concerns that that Chairman Amore can bring forward to the governor, and as she tries to, make the proper decisions about how we're going to reopen. And I guess people are also in different sectors, businesses are anxious to understand what sector they're in and when, because obviously everybody wants to be the first sector that gets reopened. So with that, I will conclude.
Thanks, Rap. I appreciate that. Yeah, very much so. And I you know, my two cents in it is that, we've had a couple small business, reach outs with Citizens last week and Goldman Sachs the week before, and there was another $2 million fund. The demand is far exceeds the supply, and we need to really understand that. And these are even the U.S. Chamber grant program yesterday, they closed out in well under an hour, their application process, because we tried to send a lot of our businesses there. So we're on the lookout for where the grants are, but we got to realize that the demand here far exceeds the supply, and that there's going to be many businesses that are not going to be able to participate as Terry has in her business on a PPP, and it just doesn't work. So I'd like to see the state really start engineering a strategy where they're corralling all the top banks, all the credit unions, all the financial institutions, sit them down and ask them what they would do for the small businesses, and then create a strategy where we have a state guaranteed and maybe even a municipal strategy where they participate in some way to show that the small businesses that are going to get caught in the, they're going to get caught in the mix here, have an option to go to, and that won't run out in 10 minutes or 20 minutes. I think that we can leverage the state into the local and into our local bank institutions significantly to help hundreds of businesses over and above what is currently out there right now. And I would hope that we really look at that very strongly. What I wanted to do is spend about 20 minutes, and then the last 5 minutes or so, just go back to Mark and others, and we'll get to Mark before he has to leave the call. So they may have like closing comments, but I have four businesses on. I've got a transportation company. Kay, are you here? Just unmute your phone and just recognize that you're here. Kay's here. Just tell us that you're here. And then we have a gymnastic studio with Ann. Ann, are you here? And then a pub with Tim. Tim, are you online? Hopefully you're there. And then Jennifer, are you on the line as well?
I'm here, Governor.
Okay, Jennifer, we'll try to get the other people on the line. I'm not sure whether they did it on mute. They may just have their three phones on mute, and they've got to dial the number to get them into the panel. But Jennifer, why don't you just share some of the things that are going on in your business, and I know you privately have shared to me that you have some concerns about overhead expenses that you're going to have. So could you, Jennifer, just fill us in a little bit of what's going on with you right now, okay?
Yep. So for those that haven't heard before, I own a barbershop. I have a micro business. I have only myself and one other barber there. So I don't qualify for a lot of the things that are out there. I have applied for the EIDL and the PPP, and I haven't heard anything back. Good news was I did apply for the unemployment. I did my first call-in this past Sunday. Matthew, thank you. It was very easy to do. I was actually surprised at how easy it was to do. And I did receive my first payment today. A question I have for Matthew regarding that is, was that first payment the whole retro for the 5 weeks being out of work, or is that just 1 week payment? Are we expecting any more retro? And then I have another question. I don't know who can answer this. Usually, as a business owner, you deposited the money into your business account, you pay your business bills, and then you pay yourself. Now it's going to be kind of opposite because the money is going into my personal account. So do I move the money now to my business account to pay, like, rent and bills for the business? And then how does that work with taxes? Because I'm already going to have the taxes taken out of the unemployment. So there's that confusion for myself personally.
Thanks, and then we'll get to Matt and to Mark in a few minutes, so that they can kind of weigh in. Unless they want to weigh in right now, Matt, do you want?
I can quickly answer that, Governor. The question about the back pay, when you applied, you indicated when you left work. We had to get a payment in the system, so that only included the first week. So after that, we will, through computer program, go in and pay everybody to the week that they indicated they were out. That might take a couple weeks to do, but we're working on it.
So would that be the amount that I received today times how many weeks I've been out?
Yeah, that I'd have to look at your claim, but my guess is that you got 1 week, and it would be that much for each week.
Okay. I wasn't sure. Yep, thank
sure.
you. Governor, the other people probably, it sounds like, are they pressing the star code that you gave us to unmute themselves? Because I know I had
to. Yeah, let me see is Tim on?
Governor, okay. I'm here. This is Tim.
Tim, good. Okay, yep. Tim, this is great. And Tim owns a pub in my hometown, which we go and have a cold one every once in a while, but not today. We're not doing it today, Tim.
So, no, we are not.
We've had some conversations, and I'd like to have you just share your story, which is similar to a number of people's story right now, in terms of how you're dealing with this, loss of revenue and some of the recommendations you have, even for the state to step up a little bit in some cases. So why don't you just share a little overview with us, and we appreciate you being here today, Tim.
All right. Well, thank you. So what I'm going to do is tell you what we have done and what I think we still need to do. When this started, my wife and I sat down and worked out a list of expenses that we thought we could drop in overheads. And we were pretty successful. We actually dropped our overheads by roughly 69%. And that was working with vendors, the mortgage, and everything else. Unfortunately, at the same time, our revenue has dropped about 80%. We are doing takeout food, which has been phenomenal. You have to give my wife all the credit in the world for doing what she's doing. And our customer base has actually grown. People in Cumberland are supporting us immensely. It's been great. Still doesn't make up for the loss of dollars. When I stripped out all my overheads that I could strip out and worked with the vendors, we were still left with, overhead, obviously. Our biggest overhead right now is coming in at state fees, and not taxes, but licenses, entertainment license, liquor liability insurance. So I wanted to kind of talk to you about liquor liability insurance. number of years ago, the state mandated that pubs, restaurants have liquor liability insurance. We always had liquor liability insurance. They mandated that you had to have a higher amount, which I completely understand. So we worked. We're paying a higher liquor liability insurance, but we can't sell alcohol. So I'm in a little bit of a crux right now because my liquor liability insurance is coming due in the next month. It is actually all my state fees and everything are over 65% of my overhead right now. And we're going to struggle to have to pay liquor liability while we can't serve alcohol. Then we have our entertainment license that's not due till November, but we've already lost a month of entertainment. And we rely on entertainment on the weekends to bring in the revenue. Obviously, we can't have entertainment. The other fees aren't as big as the liquor liability, but the liquor liability is something that I would ask the state if they can go back in and look and say, listen, we're going to put your liquor liability on hold. I understand that we can serve alcohol to go, but in order for me to serve alcohol to go, I have to serve it at cost or sell it at cost. And we did that. We did that to move through our overhead, move through our inventory. So when we did reopen, we didn't have aged inventory. But I have no inventory left right now as far as beer and wine. So I'm really looking at the state to say, hey, help us with all these fees that you impose on us that I really don't get anything in return right now, especially with the liquor liability because I can't serve alcohol. I hope that makes sense.
No, it does, Tim, and I appreciate you sharing. I'll try to circle back to everybody as they get a second thought to share, but no, your story is one that's being that other people are experiencing right now, and we really need to, there's different ways that our local communities and our state can figure out how to step up, and any help, as Tim just said, is important help. And I'll just reemphasize my feeling right now. We should be very aggressively trying to structure some sort of a bridge loan strategy for our small businesses. Right now, so that when we start the reopen process or when this 8-week time frame ends on the PPPs and other things, that you got these small bridge type of loans that can help people like Tim get over the top on some of his overhead. And even, let's figure out a strategy to have maybe a discounted strategy to those notes so that the businesses get a little bit of appreciation as well. We need to step up on their behalf, Tim. So, Tim, thanks for sharing that.
Kay, are you on the line by any chance?
Yep.
Kay, are you on the line?
I guess Kay didn't figure it out. And Ann, are you on the line at all?
I am here, Governor.
All right, Ann.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Gymnastic business, and I know that you're having some of the same issues right now trying to figure out some things. And why don't you just share a little overview of what you're experiencing and some of the things that you think might be helpful to your business.
Thank you, Governor. Thank you for inviting me. My husband and I own the Ocean State School of Gymnastics. This year is our 40th anniversary. We have about 50 people in our employ. When we were mandated to close 5 weeks ago, we immediately advised our employees to go on unemployment. Fortunately, they've all been able to receive it. Shout out to the DLT. We had a few glitches, but they were taken care of. We have been a very strong business. The last few years have been really good to us. So we are okay right now. We've applied for the PPP. We applied for the EIDL. We have received neither of those. Though we're okay right now, I'm really concerned about what's going to happen to us in the not-too-distant future if we don't get some help. I do have a question about the PPP. We applied in early April, April 3rd. Is it possible that we're still going to get it, that funds have been allocated for that, or because the funds have already run out, if we didn't already receive it, we're not going to get it? And I don't know if anyone has an answer to that.
Mark, you want to weigh in on that one? If you're still on? We'll go back.
Okay, well, that's something I've been trying to get an answer from. Governor, I have to tell you, I've been on pretty much every one of your webinars. They've been the calls, and they've been very helpful. I would like to add that for us, you know, we're a gymnastics school. We can do, we've tried to stay connected with the kids via Zoom, some of them, and do some things online, but there's nothing coming in. There's no one coming in our building. And what we have suggested to some parents, if they want to, and they're in a position to continue paying their monthly tuition, and when we come back, they will be credited with that plus 10%. So giving them something back if they do, you know, continue to pay something. And I have to say, we have a great bunch of people in our gym, and several people have been able to do that. Of course, a lot of people are out of work, and they're not in a position to do that. So we've got something coming in, but we're probably down 95%.
Yeah. 95%. So that, and you still have that overhead, right? And you're one
so
of
that's right. We still have our rent,
yeah,
and our insurances. We've been dealing with the insurance companies trying to, you know, my liability and my workman's comp. I've been talking to them to get those reduced. And our landlord has said, you know, we could take a couple of months, and he would be okay with that. We'll just owe it to him later. So we're okay, but I'm worried about what's going to happen to us. And then, like I said, in the not-too-distant future, 40 years, we've seen a couple of recessions. We've seen the banking crisis, and now we're closed.
Yeah, and so I think that you're echoing what many, many businesses around the call and around the state are saying the same thing right now. Is if you're not, you know, if you haven't been fortunate enough to work through the disaster relief loan or the PPP loan, SBA, then where do we go? And that's why I really want to continue to, you know, speak very strongly about the fact that it's time for the state to really organize a strategy, as other states have, to open up a bridge loan strategy and to work with every bank in the state of Rhode Island that I believe that will, if they are organized in a way, they'll, you know, I think we'll be very surprised about the help that they're willing to give if we can figure out a way to kind of move a program forward and launch that up in a month's time or so, inside of a reasonable period of time. And thank you for sharing that. Kay, I'm going to give you one more shot. If you're there, tell me you're there. If not, I'll try to tell your story as best I can and then wrap it up because we're moving on to the end of the call. Kay, are you on? Have you been able to figure out how to get on this panel yet? No. Okay. Well, I can tell you I've had conversations with Kay. Kay's in the transportation business, does a lot of work with the MTM, bringing a lot of people to their doctor's appointments, to their dialysis appointments, to the two different areas around the state. And he's part of a group of independently owned businesses that are still working to get help, although he did let me know today, Mark, that he did get a little relief on the EIDL loan, the emergency loan, and as did many of the drivers in his association were able to receive some of that EIDL funds as well. But they have not been able to get into the PPP mix and still got the overhead type of thing. So, you know, that's Kay's story, and I wanted to just share that because he's representing a number of businesses that are still struggling to a certain degree for whatever reason, and we got to pay some attention in the communities that he serves, and some of the minority companies that minority-owned businesses that are in the mix. So hopefully we can get Kay back on Friday and give him the instructions on how to actually get into the call. Let me go back, Mark. If you're still there, I don't know if there's anything that you might want to weigh in, or whether you've left the call already or not. Mark, if you're
Governor,
there,
was there a question for me? I'm back. I'm sorry. My phones have been ringing off the hook.
There was a question.
Hello, Lieutenant Governor. Hello.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Well, Kay, you got in?
Yes, I got in now.
Oh, my God. All right. Give us a 1 minute, and then we're going to go to Mark Hayward with a question. We still got another 10 minutes before we leave the call. But, yeah, just give an overview. Let Mark know that you got some money on the EIDL loan, but you're having trouble with the PPP, And you're also talking about dozens of businesses that you're aware of that are having the same difficulties, right, Kay? Share us your story, Kay, in terms of what you do and how how you're dealing with this this economic crisis we're going through right now. Okay.
MTN. So
yeah,
the
mute your phone. We're going to go to Mark. There was a question,
okay.
Mark, for you from Ann, I believe. Ann, did you have a question for Mark?
Yes. So nobody seems to know the answer to this. We applied for the PPP on April 3rd, and still haven't gotten it. I don't know if this is what we're trying to find out. The monies that ran out, the money that has run out, was there an allocation made for the businesses whose applications were in early, like we did ours on April 3rd? So the money is gone, but has there been an allocation for the applications that were already in?
No, your application was in at a bank?
It was with Bank of America. We submitted it April 3rd.
Yeah, I can't address the Bank of America situation or what they put in and what they did not put in. The only time there is no allocation to a bank. If all of us who are on this call are inputting into the system, when we hit submit, that funds. When it funds the loan, it provides them with the loan number, and it provides them with an authorization to go forward and close. So your loan was never put in the system.
So unless a new stimulus package is approved and some more money comes out from the federal government, we're just kind of out of luck.
Again, the $349 billion was based upon individuals keying things into the system and then hitting submit. Every bank had to do it the same way.
Okay.
But if the applications have been made on that PPP... And
they did not make an application, Governor. They did not make an application. While people are applying to their lender, maybe through a portal, that application is to their lender. That application is not to the SBA. The only time that it comes to the SBA is when the lender physically sits in front of the portal and puts in John Smith, Smith Construction, 25 jobs, $150,000, and hits submit. Then they're submitting it on ETRAN to the agency, to which immediately they will receive a loan number and a loan authorization that says you have authority to go forward and to close this loan. Submitting an application, an online application to a lender, is not submitting it to the SBA. It's submitting it to that lender.
So should I be taking that issue up with the bank then? They don't seem to have any answers for me, quite frankly.
That is between you and the lender.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. I just want to point out two things because we get these two questions a lot that I think you said, and I'll try to restate them, and please correct me if I'm wrong. The first is that anybody who has submitted an application to their bank but has not heard has not been put into the system, and so if there is new funding and their sort of place in line is going to be handled, that's only between them and the bank, and they should follow up with them. You and the government don't have any role in that. Is that a correct statement?
That is correct.
When that lender hits submit, I can
see on the other side that the loan has been submitted. In fact, I can see it, Joe, in real time. So as they're typing your name in, I can see that.
Yep, great. Thank you. I just wanted to make sure that was clear because we hear that a lot.
Yeah.
And the other question I think you addressed that we hear a lot is, am I correct in stating that there is no reserved pool of funds for any financial institution based on size or anything like that? It's strictly a matter of when the financial institution goes into the system and hits submit for an application. It's not a preference for size or scope or anything like that.
That's correct.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yeah, and Mark, can I just follow up on that too, just for my own verification? If somebody,
no.
So if somebody applied and it went through the system and it got to you, but the money ran out, do they need to reapply again?
No, it would not. They if they hit submit and it got to SBA, then they're funded. If they hit submit and there was no funds left, it would have never gone to the agency. It would have stopped.
Okay. So those banks who have those applications, if the funding goes again, they got to go in and do what you said. They got to send it to you by pushing that button, right?
They have to input it. So they have to actually input it and then submit. It's not, and they do this all the time. So this is not difficult information for them.
Yeah.
But it's a matter of hitting the submit button. I will tell you that some people have. There's only two that I'm aware of that the lenders put the application in and never hit the submit button. And so I can see the application hanging there. And they said to me, well, when we get the next round of funding, is that automatic? I said, if you do not go in and hit the submit button, it's just going to stay right there because it says pending. And right now the portal is closed. So they can't put anything in right now.
Okay. And you're going to let us know when that portal opens up, right?
The portal will open up when and if appropriations are made, and the agency makes a decision as to when the portal will open.
Great. Well, I'm getting messages that, you know, some people like down in Westerly, they got the idle grant today, and Kay, who didn't get on the call, but I'll try to get him on the call next time. They're receiving some funds. Okay, we're going to get you another time, all right? Because we're out of time right now, all right? So, but we'll bring you back on Friday. So, anyways, Matt, are you still there? Do you have anything you want to add? If not, we're coming up on the hour, and we're trying to respect everybody's time. A lot of valuable information was put in today. But, Matt, do you have anything that you want to add, or are we good?
I think we're okay, Governor. I would just urge people. I know it's incredibly difficult to wait, and I know a week or two is a long time. Those ones that are older than that, we are clearing those through every day, thousands of them at a time. The other ones, if it's a week, 10 days, that's about how long it's taken to get paid, about 9.6 days at this point. Please be patient. Please contact me if you have any questions, and I promise I'll get back to you as soon as I can.
Great, Matt. Thank you very much. And we'll be back on the line on Friday again to give some updates, and we'll try to figure out how to get Kay on this call because he's got a very important story to tell, and we'll make sure that he gets to tell it on Friday. So until then, let's make sure we stay safe. Let's really start advocating for those small businesses, and let's start exploring the idea of the state creating some form of a guaranteed strategy and partnering with the banks so that we can create these bridge loans for businesses that are not going to potentially get available with the PPP or the EIDL. Because either running out of money or just frankly, it's not a good fit for them. So thanks for everybody for calling in. You can, again, send your questions to our email address that we've given out a few times. And if not, you can call me at 401-465-6204. Thank you so much for everybody being on the call. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you, Governor.
Thank you. Yep.